I wouldn't want to do that. I've known Carla's mum and dad and her family now for over quite a time. She's from Marafelt, and she's, I think, is it 17 today? Friday? She was 17 on Friday. There you are. And she said, don't forget to announce that I came alone. I don't know what she means by that. So maybe she's not home calling. Maybe that's what she means. But I wouldn't want to embarrass her anyway. Carla, that was tremendous. And we've been really blessed. And those pieces were uplifting, brought us to the cross. And there's no sweeter place to be than at the cross of Jesus Christ. God bless you, and trust indeed that the Lord will help you in the days that lie ahead in your ministry. Let's turn in God's word to 2 Kings in the chapter 7. Going to read a few verses together and then leave some thoughts with you. Second Kings and the chapter 7. We're going to read from the first verse in the chapter. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria." Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." And they arose in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites, and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. We hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And they called, or he called, the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 11. We trust indeed that the Lord will write his word in our hearts. Let's just bow briefly and momentarily with God's word open before us in prayer, please. Gracious Father, we thank thee that at the close of the Lord's day that we are found in thy house. We thank thee for all that our ears have heard already. Lord, it is our desire that we would sit tonight beneath the cross of Jesus. Gracious Father, by thy faith, that we would behold the one whom our soul loveth. We pray for any here who have never sat beneath that cross, that this very night that they will come to taste and see that the Lord Jesus, that he is good. Lord, we pray thou will close us in with thyself for these moments. Shut us in with God, Lord, speak to our hearts. Let us know, Lord, how dull of hearing we are, how quick, Lord, we are and prone to forget thy word. But we pray, Lord, that the word of God tonight will come with clarity, quickness, and power to our souls. Lord, speak to my heart afresh. Cause us to rejoice in the God of our salvation. We pray thou will glorify Christ in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Before we look at the circumstances of these four leprous men, I think it's important that I just set the scene before you. If you turn back just a chapter to 2 Kings in the chapter 6, here we find that there was a great famine in the city of Samaria because the army of the Syrians had laid siege to Samaria. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 6 and the verse 24, we're told, "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria." So the city here was under siege. It was beginning to have its desired effect. Verse 25 says, "And there was a great famine in Samaria." So here we're underlined and underscored as the fact that not only was there a famine, but it was grievous. It was taking its hold. The people were now in starvation. They were in want. They were in hunger. And in fact, it was so great, if you look on in verse 25, it says, "And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cob of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." Now, it's hard for us to imagine that and to take it to heart that one would actually pay for a piece of dove's dung. That was the sort of food and nourishment that was available. There was nothing to eat. There was nothing to drink. The famine was great in the city. However, Elisha got a word from God. In 2 Kings, in the chapter 7 and verse 1, we read about that word. It said that, "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord." God's servant got a word. Young people, you and I, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how dark the trial, the occasion, whatever the difficulty, we can be sure that God always fulfills His word. And Elisha, God's servant, got a word from God. Can I say to young people, whenever you are up against, as we have the Ulster term here, your back's against the wall, and you're in a great trial or difficulty, can I say that the most important thing is to hear from God? Get a word from God. Because you can be sure that what God promises, He will fulfill. And Elisha, God's servant, got a word. What a word it was. There's going to be liberation. There's going to be food. In fact, the storehouses will be filled to capacity. One lord actually turned and he said, "Elisha, are you imagining this? Are you dreaming this up? This could never happen." And Elisha said, "Because of your unbelief, you're not going to partake of the goodness of God's provision." The next day, the message came from a very unlikely source. God uses unusual people. And I'm thankful for that. Praise God, the Lord can use any one of us. And the next day, the very message came to the city, 4 lepers. 4 men who were outcasts, who were despised, who were looked down upon. They came with a message that God had given the victory. There is bread enough to spare. There is a wonderful provision. And the lepers came with that news of deliverance. Now, young people, there are multitudes held captive in this world. Held captive. Their lives have been laid siege to, not by an army, but laid siege to by the devil. Young people whose lives are under bondage and under the dominion and the control of Satan. He has laid siege to their lives. He wants to destroy them. The question is, who will arise and go and tell of God's provision? Who amongst you young people will rise up and say, "Yes, I'll go, and I will take the message of the one who is strong and mighty to save"? Here we have emphasized and highlighted our duty and our responsibility in seeking to bring others to Christ. Here we see the discovery that these lepers made. Look at verse 8. It tells us about this discovery. "When these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried in silver and golden raiment and went and hid it." Here were men who were starving to death. They were at the point of death. They wisely reasoned, "Well, we're going to die anyway of starvation. We might as well go to the Syrians, this army who has laid siege to Samaria. We might as well see if they'll show mercy upon us. If they run the sword through, if they kill us, we're going to die anyway. We might as well go and see if they might be merciful." What a surprise they received. When they went to the camp of the Syrians, there was no one there. They'd all fled. They had not only left, but they left in haste. And they left behind them all of the good things, the food, the raiment, and all of the provision. And these men began to get tucked into the food. They began to eat and to drink. And who could blame them?
They were starving to death. Here is a wonderful picture of the gospel. A wonderful picture of God in His full and free salvation and in His provision. I want you to see here that it emphasizes that it was God who gave the victory and who gave the provision. So it is the Lord. Look at the latter part of verse 5. It says that when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Why was there no man there? Verse 6 explains, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. In other words, the Lord smote the hearts of these people with fear, with trepidation. This army, they actually felt and they believed that there was danger in store for them, and so they fled in haste. God gave the victory. What a picture of redemption. You're saved tonight. Many of you are. Praise God for that. All, child of God, that you have, everything that you have, is because of what God has provided for you. It's a wonderful, free gift of grace. And it's all of the Lord. What a picture of redemption. Here is the testimony of every Christian. Here's my testimony. Here's your testimony. That Jesus Christ found us as a poor, lost, guilty sinner with nothing. And now, He has given to us everything. And all that we are and have and ever will be in Christ is because of the grace of God. Oh yes, we do not deserve anything, but the Lord has been so merciful to us. What do these men find? I'm just going to move through it very briefly and quickly. There were a number of things that they discovered. Of course, the discovery that they made was because of what God revealed to them, what the Lord brought them to. They found here in verse 8, they found refreshment. It says here that when they came to the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink. Here were men at the point of death. There was nothing for them. There was no food, no provision, nothing to drink. Just a picture of the sinner in the world. Young person, can I say to you that there is nothing for your soul in this world. There is nothing that will do you good. Nothing. This world has nothing whatsoever for your soul. All of the world and its entertainment and its vices, its drink, its drugs, all of that can never meet the need of your heart. It has nothing for you. Leaves you just like the leper, starving at the point of death. These men, because of God's provision, they began to eat and drink. I want to say to you tonight, come to Christ, get to the cross, and you'll find there a full provision. We can eat and drink. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me, he shall never thirst. Ah, but out there in the world, behind all of the happiness, behind all of the glamour, there's an emptiness, because it can't satisfy. It's only Christ can satisfy and meet the need. There was refreshment, there was something else that he discovered, and it was riches. Verse 8 says that they did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold. Now here were men who were daily reduced to begging. They were lepers. They couldn't work, earn money. So they had to go out and beg each and every day. Sitting there at the city gate, hoping that someone would have mercy, give them some money so that they might buy something to eat. They were poor. It's a picture once again, is it not, of man before God? Young people before the Lord who are not saved, spiritually bankrupt, poor and needy. Man born into this world is born a sinner. He has a sinful nature with a sinful heart. He is poor before God. And yet through Christ, how rich we can become. Young person, let me say to you tonight that if you know not Christ, this very evening, you can become more wealthy than any millionaire or even billionaire. You can become rich through Christ. That's riches that count. I think it's a great tragedy that so many are seeking the riches and the wealth of this world. Money to them has become their idol, their God. All they live for is money. What a mistake.
Because at the end of the day, it is as certain that as we come into this world with nothing, we shall leave with nothing. But praise God, though we come into this world with nothing, we can go out with a great hope. We can go out with Christ. How rich they became. How rich you can become tonight. Let me say, we could not place any value on what it means for your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name to be recorded in heaven. There's no value can be placed in that. Let me say that that worth was bought and purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Here also there was something else they discovered, and it was raiment. For it says that they had eaten and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment. That day that they went, the lepers, they were dressed in those old filthy garments, those robes, they would have been stinking of the leprosy, of the disease. They had about in the very stench of death. Young person, if you're not saved, you're just like the leper because you have upon you the very sentence of eternal death. And there they were in those old garments. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 64, here's a portion that's often quoted. In Isaiah chapter 64, and the verse 6, which reads, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." In other words, all of our good works, all of our best works, all of our best labors and efforts to make ourselves right with God, God views them as what? Filthy, stinking rags. Unacceptable. Why is that? It's because they have upon them the very stench and stain of sin. Now I compare that with Isaiah chapter 61 and the verse 10. Here we read about different garments. Isaiah 61 verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God." Why is that? "For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adecketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." Praise God, young person. See if you have something to greatly rejoice in tonight. It is a legal standing before God. It's the righteousness of Christ that has been given to you just like that garment. And God views you different tonight. You're accepted before him. You have upon you the garments of salvation. The discovery that they made, there was also a dilemma that they faced. Look at verse 8 in our portion, 2 Kings chapter 7. It tells us about this dilemma that they faced. It says that they did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Here is an insight into the heart of man. Here's a picture of your heart and my heart. You see, they began to partake of these good things, and what do? They began to store them up, to hide them away. The thought was, let's hide this in case somebody else gets this provision. Let's make sure that we have more than what we need. Here's a picture of the flesh rising up, standing in the way, as it were, the will of God and the work of God. For the Lord had called these men, not only revealed himself to them, but he had chosen them to show the gospel and to bring the message of deliverance. These men then realized that what they were doing was wrong. Let me say, young person, God saved you to make you different. He saved you and he saved me that we might live not unto ourselves but unto God. He saved us so we might be witnesses for him, ambassadors for Christ. Their hearts were smitten with conviction. What did they say? Look at verse 9. They said one to another, "We do not well." Here's where we need to start. Here's the beginning place with God. If we are not interested in the souls of others, then we do not well. We need to start there. Humble confession before the Lord. It was a day of good tidings. At that very moment, as they were partaking of the good things, people were starving to death. Others were about to perish. And we as God's people need to lift up our eyes and to view the harvest fields of this world. So oftentimes, and I include myself, so oftentimes we're busy of being concerned with their own matters and their own needs and their own desires, that we fail to see others around us. We're oftentimes so selfish and so taken up with ourselves that we fail to see others around about us. What need there is. They realized that it was a day of good tidings, yet they faced a great dilemma. And the dilemma was this: how could they go? They were but lepers. And the question would rise up within some young person's heart and say, how could you go? How could you make a difference? How could you do anything for God? Well, be encouraged, young person, because the Lord chose to use these leprous men. And if the Lord chose and He used leprous men, praise God, He can use me and He can use you and He can use me. What an encouragement it ought to be to us that the Lord chooses and desires to take the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. If we are not sharing the gospel, we're not doing well. So oftentimes, we hear the missionary call, Macedonian call, often referred to. We hear the need presented. We're awakened, as it were, to the need. We're stirred, we're moved. And then, is it not true that the thoughts will begin to come, well, is your life not busy enough already? Are you not doing enough? How can you fit anything else into your life? And if we're honest, we're so taken up with self-interest, we forget others around us. Let me put it this way. If you knew someone who was terminally ill, about to die, and I said to you, here is a remedy for their soul, you would want to get out those doors and get them immediately. Nothing would hold you back. Do you know there are men and women and young people who have never heard the gospel in this country, let alone further afield? Or they may have heard of Christ, but another Christ. It's a day of good tidings. And let me say to anyone here, not saved, I have good news for you. Today is a day of good tidings. There is provision for your soul. There is freedom from sin. There is a way back to God. Here we see the decision that they took. Verse 9 to 11. We're not going to take time to look at it, for time is near gone. But just let me, in closing, say that they took a decision here. And we see the urgency in verse 9. They said, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. There's the now here. In other words, they realized that they had to go. They had to go right now. Young person, when is the best time to live for God, to serve Christ, to further the gospel? Now. Not tomorrow. Not next month. It's now. That's the best time to serve God. There was an urgency. People were perishing. They had a great obligation, a great duty to fulfill. What did they do? How did they go about this business? What they did was something that we can all do. And be encouraged by this. Verse 10 tells us, so they came and called unto the port of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians. Behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. Do you know what they did? They gave their testimony. They told about what they had discovered, what they had found, what God had done. They told them of the provision that was there for the people. Now listen, we find here in this portion that the king at the start didn't believe them. He thought it was perhaps a trick or a trap. But they weren't discouraged by that. They were going to discharge their duties. And young person, the thought is here, if we get rejection or met with rejection, if people don't listen to us, don't let that discourage us. We must be faithful in declaring the message. They went and gave their testimony. They simply told it as it was. In the Word of God, we find that God uses men in the giving of their testimony to witness to others. We think of Andrew, who gave his testimony to his brother Peter and how he was brought to Christ. Four leprous men, their lives just about ruined and over. wonderfully transformed by the grace, the provision of God. What a difference the gospel makes. Young person, not saved, God can take your life. He can save it. He can change it. He can do something wonderful with it. Something far above our expectation or even belief. God can do something wonderful with it. There's a full provision. It's a day of good tidings. Who will go and tell? May God give us grace to take the message and to bring it to the needs of others.
Close our meeting and give a wee word of thanks. There's foodstuffs and there's juice and some scriptures. Our brother Chris will be